enjoyed it thoroughly. And it's a good, wonderful crowd Wednesday night. I estimate between 3,000 and 4,000 here tonight. Amen. If you're going to be a good evangelist, you got to have the gift of estimation. And I'm not exaggerating. We are between 3,000 and 4,000, right? So it's good to see each of you tonight. And so glad the Griffins came tonight. Blessing to see them. I know that they have a lot of money. And I was hoping during that offering that the Lord was burdening them. It's good to see these folks. We've got to know them years ago. I think the first time we met was up there almost to Canada. Where was that? Menominee. Menominee. And I remember that well. And your girls played some basketball against me and cheated. And I appreciate these folks. Good to see you tonight. And this beautiful weather out. Amen. And my Louisiana blood is not warmed up to this yet, or cooled off to this yet, I guess I should say. But praise the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. One of the blessings of traveling in a lot of different churches are you get to meet a lot of folks and a lot of good men of God. And there's a number of good men of God out there that nobody knows about. They're just faithful to the Lord. But there's a lot of churches that would give anything to have a good man of God. And you're blessed. Your pastor stands true to the Word of God, loves people, loves the Lord. Well, he told me he loves most of the people. And loves the Lord and loves the Word of God. And I'm telling you, you just want to always be grateful that God gives you a man of God that's going to stay true to the book, because it's becoming less and less across the country. One of the things that really burdens me is to see so many preachers that are just letting up. And I'm thinking, how in the world can you let up when the battle is getting more fierce? How do you let up when the devil knows his time is short? And he's doing more and more, an attack on the attack more and more. How do you let up? You know, I hear all these kind of weird thinking today. You know, well, you know, we just don't need that mean-spirited preaching. Well, I'm not for being obnoxious and rude in the pulpit. But if you mean by that we shouldn't confront sin, then how are you ever going to see repentance take place and revival take place if you don't preach on sin and name sin and do it boldly? And so, you know, there's just a great movement today of people moving to the left, softening up, you know, just lighten up a little bit. You don't have to hold those standards so much anymore and all of that. You know, I love when people tell me, well, you know, God loves us like we are. Well, absolutely, but he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. Amen. He's wanting to move you to be more like Jesus, you know, and that ought to be our heart's desire. And, you know, I love this new approach. Now, I'm not into the sermon yet. I'm just rattling on here. But, you know, this new approach that, you know, well, you know, we're just going to major on the essentials. I love that one. You know, we're just going to major on the essentials. Well, you know, it's an amazing thing, but my Bible tells me that all that the Lord did when he was on this earth and all that he taught, if it was all recorded, all the libraries in the world couldn't hold it all. So our God loved us so much, he just condensed it all down to give us what he wanted in this King James Bible. So everything in there is essential. How we dress is essential. The kind of music is essential. All of it's defined right in this blessed book. You know, that's sermon one. But anyway, it just burdens me what's going on in our country. And you just ought to thank God for your preacher. Every single day, you know, when he preaches and preaches hard on something, don't sit back there mealy. That's when you need amen the loudest. Yes, and folks that are visiting, you know, they hear that and say, well, maybe I better pay attention. Maybe he's right. So, amen, Brother Booth.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 4 in your Bible. Tonight, I really want to lay out the basis for Christian living. Really, the whole process of thinking for a child of God and what it ought to be. You know, everything about the Christian life Satan attacks, and he attacks, first of all, our minds. He attacks the way we think. That's why it tells us in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so what we think affects everything we do. And so the devil always attacks our thinking. And tonight I want, as we wrap up this year's conference, missions conference, I want us to see the essential of Christian living. The difference between Christian thinking versus atheist thinking. It's really a life-changing truth because it's so contrary to our nature. But if we get this down right, it will affect our priorities. It'll help us with our time management. It'll help us with our attitude about giving. It'll help us with our attitudes toward trials. It'll help us with our issues about our testimony. If we just grasp this tonight. So in 2 Corinthians 4, if you'll notice in verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live always are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh forth a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things, notice verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to preach tonight on realistic living and realistic giving. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. We confess we're nothing without thee. We're so grateful that you allow us the joy and privilege to serve you, Lord. Realizing that you could use anything in the whole world. You could create what you want to be your servants, but you allow us that privilege. And I confess my need of you tonight. And I ask the Holy Ghost of God, would you help my mind to be clear and help me, Lord, to put emphasis where you want it tonight. And I ask of thee, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd manifest your presence and power here. Father, you know the heart's desire of this good man of God here, that they want to do more for missions. They want to have more of an investment, Lord, in reaching souls across the entire world. And so would you help us tonight that our thinking, Lord, would be that of what you want for a Christian. And that, Lord, we'd realize that there's a way of biblical thinking and there's a way of unsaved type thinking. And help us, Lord, that we would think spiritually. And when we come to this matter of giving and the matter of their pledges to missions, that there'd be a spiritual thought process in all of it, that you might receive that glory. Holy Spirit of God, fill me, I pray, and endue me. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I was preaching a missions conference in Illinois a few years ago. The pastor said to me, "Brother Booth, have you ever heard of Bob and Mary Johnson, missionaries to Brazil?" I said, "You know, I think I've heard their name. I never met them." He said, "Well, Bob is with the Lord now. He died this past year. But his widow, Mary, is going to come in for the revival meeting Friday evening. We've supported him for many years." And then he began to tell me the story. He said, "Bob and Mary went to the Dominican Republic, and they're right on the border of the Dominican and Haiti. And he said, I believe they've started 26 churches, if I remember right." And he said, "Tremendous missionaries. But through the years, they've had their trials. They had a son that while on furlough, their son was driving a pickup truck, and it rolled and ended up that he's a quadriplegic and has to be taken care of. And yet they went back to the field serving the Lord and have care taken for their son. But they said in the early years when they were on the field, I believe it was Dominican men that came in and at gunpoint took Mary and abused her in front of her husband at gunpoint. They came back to the United States for about a year just to try to heal and get over, but they couldn't stay." He said, "Brother Booth, their mindset was, we've got to do what God put in our hearts to do. We've got to do the will of God." They went back to the mission field. After 20-some churches being started, they were home on furlough once again, and Bob was driving down the road, and I don't remember how the accident took place, but there was an accident, and Bob was thrown out of the car, and he was instantly killed. Mary was okay. She didn't get hurt in the accident. He told me, he said, that Mary will be coming in on Friday evening for the service. And I was just overwhelmed at the testimony of these folks and their faithfulness for the years. I sat as Mary was called up to just speak to the church for a few minutes and share her testimony. And I watched that dear lady stand up with such grace. And she looked and thanked the people for all the years of support. And she says, "You know, shortly before Bob died, he said to me, 'Honey, I'm concerned that maybe I haven't trained the men there on the field well enough to take over should something ever happen to me.'" She said, "But I want you to know, church, that it's been 9 months since Bob's been with the Lord, and those Dominican men have already started 4 more churches." And she said, "Pray for me," because she said, "God didn't put it in my heart for me to stay here in America. And my kids have promised me, 'Mom, if you're going to go back there, then just please promise you'll take somebody with you.'" So she said, "I made them that promise, but I'm planning to go 4 or 5 times a year because we still have a Bible college over there and somebody's got to grade the papers, and folks need to see that just because trials happen doesn't mean that you give up on what the Lord's put you here to do." Man, I remember I just fell under such conviction. And I thought, "Dear Lord, why is it I gripe and whine about the little things I had to go through?" But in this passage, Paul said, you know, there are times where we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. You know, we bear about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. How does somebody like that, how do they have that mindset? Why are there folks like that? And yet all of us have been in church very long at all, we know a list of folks that used to be faithful in church, and the least little hiccup came along in their life and they bailed out. What's the difference? Well, it's really all about a spiritual mindset. And that's what Paul said. For this cause we faint not. This is why we don't give up. This is why through the trials and the difficulties and this is why we just keep on going. He said, while we look on, not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So first of all tonight, I want you to understand our problem that we deal with as Christians here in this world. You see, we live in two realms, or dimensions, if you want to put it that way. There's the spiritual, and there's the physical. There's the invisible, and there's the visible. Our challenge is to put these in proper perspective. It really determines on whether we're faithful and succeed in our Christian purpose or not. The physical is the world we see. The world says reality is really what you see and what you touch and what you taste and what you smell or what you hear. But God said that's not what reality is. That's temporal. That's going to pass away. That's not going to last forever. Those are temporal things. The word temporal is made up of two words that really means a season and pertaining to, or pertaining to a season. You see, what we see is just here for a season. It's not reality. It's not lasting. It's not eternal. Most believers fail because they want something confirmed by their senses. We're living in a time today where everybody has emotions rule over truth. And when a real old-fashioned man of God gets up and lets her rip and preaches the truth, their feelings are hurt. Well, praise God if my feelings need to get hurt so I can get on board with truth and hurt my feelings, please. But it's the way the whole world's around. That's why you can't even have a debate with the Democrats, because they're all about their emotions and feelings, and you can't have a debate unless you can get to a basis of logic. But it's all about feelings. All about our emotions. Well, all of that is temporal. You know, Paul said to the Corinthian church, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The things that are physical pass away. The things that are spiritual last forever. So what is real living? What is realistic? Well, it's not what we see. It's what we don't see. That's real living. That's what's going to last forever. You see, God is the source of everything that's real. If you'll go over there to Romans chapter 11 with me. Look at verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You see, everything comes from Him, everything goes to Him, everything exists through Him. So what we see is simply a manifestation of what is real. Go to Romans chapter 1, look at verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. What we see is just a manifestation of the great power of God and His creative ability. But that's all going to pass away. It just represents. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I figured on Wednesday night you might not be bothered by using your Bible a little bit. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This is why a lot of Christians never grow. They won't look beyond what they can see. They won't consider the invisible. It's all about what they can see. It's all about what they can figure out. You know, worry comes from focusing on the physical realm. We get all worried and fretting and, you know, stewing and needing another pill because we're looking at the physical realm. Not the spiritual, not the eternal, that there's a God who has a purpose. He allows things. We go through trials. We have challenges. But there's a mighty God who's sovereign, who's not caught off guard. He knows all about it. He's developing us so that we can have the opportunity to become more and more like Jesus, earn more and more eternal reward, and invest our lives in what will matter when we see Him. So we have to realize the problem we have is these two realms, the physical and the spiritual. But we need to understand our purpose. Why were you created? Why did God save you, and why hadn't He taken you on home? Why has He left you here as a Christian? What's your purpose? There is a purpose. You're here. It's not about the physical. It's not about your comfort. It's not about what you want out of life. I get so weary of the kind of common preaching today that's all about what God will do for you. And what, you know, boy, He'll fulfill all your dreams and all your goals. And, you know, Joel Osteen, he'll just tell you God's going to do everything in the wonderful in the world for you just like you've always wanted it to be. But I want to tell you, I'm not here for God to do everything I want Him to do. I'm here to do what He wants me to do. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It's right before Ephesians chapter 2. Try to be helpful. Amen. Look at verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. He has a purpose. It's not physical, it's eternal. It's an eternal purpose. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I refuse to help you find Genesis 1. I'll leave that up to you. Genesis 1, look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Pastor, there's your verse for a boat. Have dominion over all those fish. Amen. Thought that'd be a blessing to you. That's right. That's right. So God purposed when He created man for us to be an extension of His life. He made us in His image. He made us in His likeness. He gave us dominion. Authority. So in our redeemed state, we are God's means of extending Himself wherever we are. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now we're ambassadors for Christ. So we're made after His image. That's an extension of His life. We're made after His likeness. That's an expression of His character. We're made to have dominion. That's an exhibition of His power. That's why Satan hates you as a Christian. He hates you because everything he sees about you reminds him of God's character, of God's life, and of God's power. And he wants to destroy that. When sin came, it caused us to lose God's presence. It caused us to lose God's person and His power. And then instead of us becoming an extension of God to others, sin leads us to just live for ourselves. That's why we guard our feelings, because it's about us. Not about him, it's about us. You know, I don't deserve that. I don't deserve to be treated that way. You know, you don't understand, preacher, you're up there pushing about giving more and giving more, and every year it's giving more and giving more, and you know, I gotta have this and I need this, and it all becomes our focus on self. So the Lord sent our Lord and Savior, or God sent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to redeem us. So now realistic living is not living unto yourself. That's the physical realm. It's living for that which is eternal. We're talking about a missions conference. It's about giving to that which is eternal. It's about fulfilling the purpose that He has us here. That's why you find the mind of God. I appreciate your pastor said, this isn't about pressuring you to do something. This is about you finding what the will of God for you is. You find what God wants you to do about this matter of giving over and above your tithes to missions. You find out what God wants you to do in extending His life to those who need Christ and what you can do to have a part in that. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Romans 8:28, we know that verse. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, those that are called according to His purpose. Next verse says, for we are predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. So the Lord's making us Christ-like. Our purpose is not riches. That's temporal. Our purpose is not leisure. That's temporal. That's going to pass away. Our purpose is not our career. That's temporal. Our purpose is not comfort. All that's temporal. Our purpose is to fulfill His will. Extend His life. I love missions conferences. I love missionaries. I love the heartbeat of God to reach souls everywhere. But that means we got to get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes on the eternal, not the temporal. In the South, there was a preacher. He was in Bible college. He was in a Bible college there in the South, and he had a bus route while he was in Bible college. And there was a little lady and her children that lived in kind of a little run-down shack of a place, and they would ride his Sunday school bus. And when he graduated from Bible college, he went to another state, was an assistant pastor for a short time. And then in that very same city where he used to run a bus route, a church opened up needing a pastor, and ended up that he felt it was the will of God, and they called him, and he became pastor there. He and his wife moved there, and he's excited about the ministry, and he and his wife were at the store getting a few things, and there was that little lady that used to ride on his Sunday school bus. And she came over and she said, well, I haven't seen you for a long time. And he said, well, I'm glad to see you. He said, you know, we just moved back here. Oh, that's wonderful. She said, you know, since you left, nobody's come by to visit. Nobody's picked us up for the bus route. We haven't been going to church, me and my kids. And she says, you know, we love the Lord. We love church. And he said, well, you know, I just moved back here. I'm a pastor here in a church now, and we'd love to have you come. He said, would you like me to pick you up for Sunday school? Oh, she said, would you? And he said, I'd be delighted to. And she's so excited, and so he gave her the time, and he and his wife came by that Sunday morning, picked her up for Sunday school, had her kids ready, and, you know, they didn't have much. They just live in this little shack of a place, but she loved the Lord and was excited to be back in church with her kids. Afterwards, she said to the pastor when he was dropping her off, he stopped and got a little sandwich for him, and she said, man, I'm so thankful. I've just so enjoyed the morning service. And she said, thank you so much for picking us up. And she said, you know, pastor, we're Sunday night kind of folks too. And he said, would you like me to come by and pick you up Sunday night? Oh, she said, would you? That'd be wonderful. He went by, picked him up Sunday night, and brought him back afterwards. He and his wife dropped him off, and she said, you know, we're Wednesday night folks too. And he said, well, we'll be glad to come by and get you Wednesday night. Went by and picked him up for Wednesday night service. And they just started coming faithfully. And after a couple of weeks, she said, Pastor, she said, you think it'd be okay if we join the church? He said, I'd be delighted for you to join the church. She said, well, I don't have a lot of talent and abilities, but she said, there's two things I'm real good at. She said, I'm a good cook. And she said, and I'm real good with babies, and I'd love to work in that nursery and take care of the babies. And he said, well, I tell you what, we'll hook you up to work in the nursery, and we'll have you start coming Saturday mornings. We have a little breakfast for our bus workers and those going out soul winning on Saturday morning. For years and years and years, she fixed breakfast on Saturday morning, and she loved those babies in that nursery. For years. Her son became a deacon eventually in that church. Now an adult Sunday school teacher. As she got up in years and her health was not good and she needed some special care, they had to put her in a nursing home. And she just fought that. She didn't want to go to that nursing home. And pastor said, listen, we'll come by and visit you. And she says, I know, preacher. She said, but I can't bear the thought of being there. And he said, well, what is the problem? You got your son here. We're going to take care of you and make sure everything's okay. But she said, pastor, she said, she just wept and wept. And she said, you know, I give $140 a month to the church. And that's my gift to the Lord. And I don't know how I'm going to be able to give that if I'm stuck here in a nursing home. That was her whole burden. You know what? The physical didn't matter to that little gal. Her whole focus was about the eternal. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we'd have a revival of that in our hearts? So what's our possibilities as we learn to focus on the eternal? Well, number one, we have the opportunity to extend His life to those around us. 2 Corinthians 5:18 again reminds us that we're ambassadors for Christ. That's why we're here. What folks need is they don't need Tim Booth. What they need is Jesus. And if you stop and think about this is an amazing thought, but you realize that those 33 and a half years that our precious Lord lived His perfect, compassionate, gracious, merciful, pure, holy life, He was just in that small region over there in Israel for 33 and a half years. Really a very small portion of population of the world history ever really got to see it. That ever got to see His life. And so when the Lord ascended into heaven, He said, when I depart, there's going to be another one just like me come. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's going to live within you. He's going to empower you, enable you, so that My life can be lived through you. So throughout history, all of those that never got to see Me as I walked this earth and did the miracles and showed the mighty power of God, the compassion, now they can see that through you as you allow Me to live your life, My life through you. That's why we're here. To allow Him to extend His life through us. Wouldn't that be a great thing if we'd have a revival of just hungering to be more like Jesus? Yeah. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like Thee, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy fullness. Come in Thy sweetness. Stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. We're here. But you see, that means you got to get your eyes off of the physical. Off of this world. Off of this selfishness. And look at the eternal. That's real living. And that's what motivates us to real giving. So we have an opportunity to be a channel to finance God's work. But the key is to see through eternal eyes. To get in God's program. to allow Him to provide with His eternal resources to go through our hands to do what may look impossible. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you." It tells us in Luke 6:38, "Given, it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, running over, shall men give unto your bosom." Now's our opportunity. But we got to look at the temporal, at the eternal, not the temporal. We live by faith, not by sight. We focus on spiritual, not natural. Tithes become a very natural part of your life. It's not a problem. It's a joy. Giving above and beyond the tithe, there's four kinds of offerings mentioned in the Scripture. There's tithing, which belongs to the Lord already. There's free offerings giving above our tithes. We see offerings that were given to build the tabernacle. Offerings for building. We see offerings that were given as alms offerings or for needy people. And then we see offerings given for missions. To send those missionaries to go to places that we're not able to go. And that's what the Lord has left us here. To focus on the spiritual, not the physical. To focus on the eternal, not the temporal. It'll change everything. It'll change your priorities. It'll change how you deal with the trials. This is a short time. These are just problems I got to get through here. But God's doing a greater work, an eternal work. It'll affect every part of your Christian life. Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Our Lord, we love You. We thank You for this time that we've had, these days that we've had together, Lord, to look at Your precious Word. For Old Paths Baptist Church to give prayer and consideration to what You want to do through them in this matter of getting the gospel. Thank You, Lord, for folks like the Hansons. Thrills my heart. Young but excited about doing the will of God. Reaching those in the mountains of Panama that nobody has ever brought the gospel to. Little Catholic churches that have led them into false doctrine. So help us, Lord. Help us to do what You want us to do. I pray, Lord, that this year would be the greatest year of eternal fruit for Old Paths Baptist Church. Now, Lord, You do what You need in the invitation tonight. Have Your will accomplished in our hearts, I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that would say, be honest with you, Brother Booth, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've been wrestling. I don't want to die and go to hell. If I could know for sure according to the Bible that I was saved, forgiven on my way to heaven, I'd like to have that settled for sure. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you slip your hand up tonight? Anybody like that? Maybe tonight there's some that ought to come to an altar and say, "Dear Lord, I've allowed the difficulties and challenges that are here in this old physical world to distract me from the eternal things that You want me involved in. Lord, I instead of trusting by faith, I've complained on a regular basis. I feel sorry for myself. I have my pity parties. And I allow these things, Lord, to cloud my ability to be able to have Your life extended through me. Lord, I need to reset and get my focus on the eternal and the spiritual rather than this temporal, physical world we live in. Maybe your giving has always been calculated by a physical approach rather than a spiritual and eternal approach. But I believe it's an absolute critical thing for God's church when they consider what the Lord wants them to do about the matter of giving to missions. It's critical that you do it spiritually. And maybe tonight you just need to come and get a renewed focus on that which is spiritual. How many tonight would say, Brother Booth, as a Christian, I needed that reminder tonight. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to my heart some things I know that I need to get in order with the Lord, some things that I know He wants to change, some things I know that He wants me to settle with Him tonight. As a Christian, God's dealing with me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hands up, Christians? God's speaking to your heart. God bless you. Thank God for your tender hearts. Thank God. I want to say, Mary Johnson, how is it? How is it you were able to forgive those people and want to go back there? Because it's not about me. It's not about some physical difficulty I had to endure. There's a greater eternal purpose. That's what makes the difference in a Christian that grows and matures to become used of God and those that stagnate wrapped up in themselves. Would you stand with me for prayer, please? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for folks who've been so faithful this week and tender hearts responsive to the preaching. You saw hands raised tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us some real victories tonight and that you'd seal decisions and that, Lord, you'd have your will and your way accomplished in this invitation. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Some music plays. God spoke to your heart. You need to come. Let's come right now. Is God dealing with you? You raised your hand. Now's your opportunity to say yes to the Lord, what He's dealing with you about.